This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Thank you for once again tuning in to my mom's favorite podcast, Mamaholics. That's what I'm going to start calling people that listen to this, Mamaholics. I'll probably get stoned and forget about it by next week. But if I can remember, that's what you're going to be from now on. But welcome. Thanks for listening. Today we're going to be joined by Todd Yeti Stimmel as a comic from Lakeland. Runs a show out there, Brandon or some other town that I'm not totally familiar with. Yay, drugs. So we'll have him. Will, can you turn that down just a bit more, please? Okay, smartass. Come on. You can do it. One more. Just there you go. I don't know why Will hates me. I'm always nothing but fucking polite to him.
This is why you're going to start doing this on your own pretty soon.
I just asked this nicely and everything, man.
No, I know it's nice, but this way you can kind of do whatever you want to do, and you got your limits, and you got your...
Mamaholics, do you see how he treats me? Do you see how he treats Daddy? all right, I'm going to stop that because it's getting weird. But yeah, as usual, man, thanks for tuning in. We'll do, you know, we'll have hits from the bowl or bowl hits. We'll have, you know, the Netflix Pearl. And we'll probably talk my favorite subject that we talk every podcast, Donald Trump, my illegitimate father. Not really. We'll talk about it. Have fun. Thank you for listening. William, the music. Motherfucker talking slick shit, chip on my shoulder, size of Texas. That's how I learned natural selection, skipping class to go learn my lessons. SP-12 and MPC weapons, yeah. All became my personal obsession. Respect direction, track the henchmen, best inventions, it's the next dimension. My venom is a sentiment of sexual tension. I banged out hard when the wench crept in. This will be that shit to keep them all down low, progressing. Got my knuckles on the table down, flexing, stretching the word till it fits my reflection. On the verge of a nervous breakthrough with my crew when I'm acting a great goose. Dodging all the haters. Looks like a big rap fan,
Todd. Are you a big rap fan?
Yeah, actually, most of the old school stuff, and I have the entire catalog from Eminem.
See, I love Eminem, dude. He's, I get in this argument with my daughter, she's 16, and, yeah, okay, I can understand how some people might be upset with his lyrical content, but you cannot argue his ability.
Yeah, he's lyrically brilliant. That's one of the things I enjoy about his work. You know, it's funny, last night, someone on Facebook had put a meme that said, you know, he's the only rapper that's never rapped about bitches, cars, or money. And I said, I don't think you've listened to a lot of Eminem. Because he has one song where he complains about his mother, stuffs his ex-wife in a car, drives her into a lake, and bitches about being broke. That pretty much covers money, bitches, yeah, and money.
He just
and cars.
He bitches. He talks about it differently. Most people are like, I got all these bitches. He's like, I murder bitches. Yeah. Like, I got all these cars. I stick them dead bitches in my car. I got all this money. I kill these bitches and put them in my car because I'm broke, and they try to get money from me. he's somebody, like, I don't know. I would want to meet him, but I don't know if I would, because there's certain people that I'm scared I'd fanboy out over, and he's one of them, and I don't think that would be, like, that would probably be a one and only meeting then.
Yeah.
Like, if I could hold my shit together, you know, maybe like, oh, you know, in the future, you know, we'll see each other, whatever. But if I fanboy out, he's going to be like, all right, I'm never talking to this.
Then the inverse of fanboying out is you try to be too normal. Yeah. And then that just makes you more awkward.
Yeah. It's like a certain point. It's like, yo, I can tell that you're trying not to be a little girl. Just fucking do you, whatever it's going to be. it's a point of diminishing returns. And I'll try not to blow this smoke in your face. I actually have a responsible guest on for once. Most of my guests smoke with me. Worst case scenario, they're like, I'm just blowing it in their face, and they're like, no, I don't need any. Well, no, you don't, because I just gave you a contact high.
No, I'm an advocate for the social and medical legalization, but that doesn't always pan out.
Well,
you know, they want you to be dying before you can have it. It's like, well, what if you just got back pain?
Yeah, I actually have a few of my friends that are older that, you know, don't really smoke. But they know I make edibles from time to time. Like, I'll make a batch of brownies or some cookies, and they practically beg me for them, because, like, one dude's had like 3 back surgeries in the matter of like a year and a half. His back is like, he can't have a sit down job. He has to get up and walk around every like 45 minutes to an hour to stretch out his back. Otherwise, he'll just be in agonizing pain.
Yeah, and I got the one. Mine's that if I if I stand upright for more than 10 minutes, then I my back starts hurting like a toothache. You know, I never anticipated that being a stand-up comic, that the hardest thing for it would be the standing up. At my right. age, it's the fucking standing up.
Oh, that's what...
Can I just be a lean in the corner comic? I'm gonna just
pull a Jack Johnson, man. Pull a stool up and have a seat.
Yeah, it's not, and that's not a coincidence because he's a tall dude too.
You know? He's been on here. And for those of you that missed it, Jack Johnson, I started calling him the gentle giant of comedy because he's fucking 6'9".
Yeah, he makes me feel short. I look at him like freak.
Yeah, and you're a fucking big dude because you're a Yeti.
I was 6'8" when I was 6'8". my military ID says 6'8". No, you do shrink. You shrink. You can shrink up to an inch by the time you're 40.
What?
Yeah, and I have some endocrine problems, so that's kind of accelerating that process.
That's a word that I feel I'm familiar with.
Yeah,
but
hormone problems. See, you can't. Okay. Men shouldn't say hormone issues. You have to say endocrine. It makes you sound like a fucking X-Men.
Oh God. Dude, I got in so much fucking trouble. I shouldn't say it like that. Like, nobody came and scolded me, but I literally saw this girl's jaw drop because I said something like, how you were just saying, like, men can't say hormone. I knew for a fact that I should not have said what I was saying on Monday, and I literally looked at the audience, and I was like, you already hate me, so fuck it. And I started shitting on Hillary Clinton. have you been to the brewery? Dunedin Brewery?
Oh, yeah, I've done Dunedin, but just one time, because the problem is that is way far away from my house. Great room. I mean, they run a great room over there. I'm really trying to get back, and now that I got a new job in North Tampa, I'm going to probably be able to make it up there on occasion, so get up there and see John Jay.
Because you're all the way out Brandon?
I'm in Riverview. My club's in Riverview. You were only off by like 30 minutes and 30 miles. So.
I have fucking no idea. Yeah,
don't smoke before you drive over there. You'll know where the fuck you're going.
I smoked the whole way there.
Yeah, I could tell when you got on my stage, too.
Hey, I still had a damn good fucking set.
Yeah, it was a good set. Yeah, okay,
I
say.
I almost always perform high. It's just because I kind of live my life high. Like, I just find it's a better way to be. And I still have, like, if I started getting on stage and just eating a dick, then I would probably be like, all right, maybe I should stop and try to recalibrate shit. But as long as I'm still having good sets, I'm like, fuck it. I'll just make sure I pound a Red Bull before I get on stage and bring my energy back up.
Yeah, that's one thing, is like some of the places we end up performing, you know, it's the hardest thing about it is that the audience has been enjoying refreshments that are not conducive to processing language and having high energy.
So. Well, that's the one thing I never worry about, is because I don't drink anymore. Which a lot of people are like, wait, you don't drink, but you're high as balls. I'm like, well, yeah, because I can control the marijuana. Like, I can look at a joint and be like, you know what, I'm pretty high, or, you know, I have to do something. Let me not do this right now. But with alcohol, I did not have that ability.
No, and alcohol is a weird mistress, because it's, you know, it's dosed by body weight. And it was funny because I'd go out after work at a place I was at, and they'd get concerned because over the course of a 3-hour company happy hour, they'd see me drink like 11 beers, or, you know, 8 to 11 beers. And they'd be like, are you all right to drive home? I'm like, motherfucker, I'm 300 pounds. I mean, I don't even have a buzz yet at 8 beers. So,
well, I wouldn't get a buzz yet either, but that's just because I was a raging alcoholic. I had nothing to do. Like, I was smaller, but I just drank so much.
I'm an aspiring alcoholic. I'm just not doing it right.
I used to, my friend Whitney, who is so fucking tiny, I love her to death. She lived with us for a little while back in the day, but she is super, super, super tiny. Like, if I put my hands around her waist, my fingertips are close to touching. And she's, you know, a fully grown adult, but that's just as big as she's going to get. And we'd go out to the bar, she'd have a drink and a half, boom, that's her night.
Yeah.
She's done. And then she would slide her keys over to me. And I'd be 5, 6, 7 beers in, 2 shots in, and people would be like, are you sure? And she's, no, he's the designated drunk driver. Like, and I would always get us, you know, I'd get us everywhere safe.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I don't believe.
Well,
I don't
not know. Safe.
No. Sometimes you have to just leave your foot out the edge of the door and just drag it along the curb until you get home. So
parked out of several curbs.
Yeah, you just got to be very focused while you're driving home. That's the whole thing. You learned that if you can just keep that white line in the corner of the windshield, you know you're good. As long as it's terminating in the corner of the windshield, you'll get home all right.
Yeah, I was always – there was only one time, and it's when I lived in Wisconsin. And I got so fucking hammered and then went to drive home. And it was like a 15-minute drive, maybe 20 tops. but it's all back roads in Wisconsin in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, there was snow in the ditches, and it's huge ditches. You know, it's, like I said, backcountry roads. I had all my windows down in February, AC and radio cranked, and I am fucking all over the road. It was this weird level of drunk but aware. Like, I was literally driving telling myself, you cannot keep it on the road. You are fucking hammered. If you get pulled over, you're fucked. I literally told myself to drive in the middle of the road just so I wouldn't catch a shoulder, hit that icy gravel, and go down a ditch. But I was just driving down the middle of these roads going, yeah, you just cannot hold it together tonight, buddy. You are in bad shape.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we were driving. I'm from originally from right outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, in a little town called Camp Hill.
Okay.
So I'm familiar with the whole backcountry roads. I was driving to work. I worked third shift at a place that shall remain nameless, loading boxes, and was like shoveling shit into the furnace of hell. We were driving there, and like as we're driving, we saw headlights go into the woods, come back across, and then saw this car tumbling through a yard and hit another car hard enough to knock that car into a telephone pole and break it. And then the guy climbs out of the windshield. And it was funny because we were witnesses, so we had to stop, and we got caught in the
right
in the thing. And they're like, you know, they're interrogating the guy, you know, the cops there. Like, what's your name? Bill. How old are you, Bill? 20. And then I looked at my buddy. I'm like, kiss your ass goodbye, Bill. you will never drive another day in your life.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's not a good look, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
When I was 20? I think I was like 19. Yeah, I was like 19. And I used to eat just so much ecstasy. Like alarming amounts, even for a drug addict.
I did too, but that was a stripper.
No, I was eating the ecstasy so I could get with the strippers. you bypassed a whole step that I just couldn't get past. I'd eat so much ecstasy. Well, my one night we're at the rave club. It doesn't even get done till like 6 o'clock in the morning is when they kick you out. So it's like 4:35 o'clock, and one of my homeboys is like, "Yo, I'm dipping out with these two girls. We're gonna stop, get some. I forget. I think they're getting like bottles of water and shit. And we were gonna keep partying past 6 o'clock in the morning at the house. Like, so he was going to get party supplies. Like, yeah, we did fucking drugs. So we get back to the house. Me and all my other friends, dude's already there. We're like, "Hey, what's up, bro?" He's like, "Check this shit out." Boom, bust out a big old fucking nitrous tank. We're like, "Where the fuck did you get that at 5 o'clock in the morning? Fucked up." And he's like, "Dude, we're coming down.
Where the fuck is there a 24-hour dental supply?" That's just like, what do you do? Walk in and be like, "Yeah, I'm a dentist." Okay, bro, here you go.
Yeah. And my boy at the time, like I said, we're 19. We called him Freak Show. He had like leopard print spots dyed into his hair. Like, and it wasn't even like black and yellow. I want to say like it was black, purple, and red. Like, just, like, so loud, too. And, like, you know, we're wearing big baggy raver clothes. This is 1999, so it's, like, the big elephant ear Jankos where, like, you could literally fit a midget up into your fucking pant leg. And we're like, "Where the fuck did you get this, dude?" Apparently, he's coming down 275 because this was in downtown St. Pete. Yeah, this was in downtown St. Pete, and we lived in Countryside. So he's like, "Dude, I was coming down 275, and we see the truck in front of us start swerving. All three lanes, hit the shoulder, and just go up. He said it went up in the air, spun in the air, like hit, tumbled. Him and the two girls, like, even though they're fucked up, they're like the only cars within sight. They're like, "Oh my God, we got to help these people." They rush up. He said there was three dudes in the pickup, all like in the front cab part. The back window, like how some of them have a window going from the cab to the bed. I'm using my hands to explain this because
the listeners will know what the fuck you're doing.
I do that all the time. But, like, so this dude's hanging half out of that fuck. Like, the truck's upside down. Dude's hanging half. Or the truck's on its side. Dude's hanging half out of the fucking window. And my boy rushes up. And before he can say anything, he goes, the guy just looked at me and went, "Take the tank." And he looked inside, and there's the fucking nitrous tank, and balloons were inside. And what he's guessing is that these kids were fucking doing nitrous hits as they were driving, and somebody let the driver do one.
Oh, yeah, that's really intelligent, because nitrous knocks you out for a couple seconds.
If you take a small enough one, you'll just get the and you'll be able to see. But, like, even then, there's no possible way that was an okay idea.
I can't get it. I mean, if they use it for dental work to knock you the hell out so you don't give a shit the fact that they're doing the most painful thing that can be done in the human skull, you know, it's got to be some good stuff.
I mean, dude, it I mean, it really worked out for us because that tank was mostly full. So we got a giant full tank of nitrous, full fucking balloon bag and everything, because my boy said he went to grab it. Like, he was going to grab it, stick it in the car, and then help. He's like, dude, I grabbed it, and right as I pulled it out of the car, you could hear sirens way off in the distance. So he just goes, the guy in the truck was like, take it, go. Like, just, he didn't care that he was about to die. He just wanted the nitrous tank, the evidence gone.
Yeah.
My boy jumped in the car with the two chicks. They took off with the tank.
Yeah, I found out when I was working out in Arizona that there's a reason there's a weight rating on your work truck. Because I had a guy, there was a guy coming up the street from me, had a blowout, and he had about 3,000 pounds in a truck that's rated for about 700.
That doesn't sound safe.
He went left and right, and you know time fucking slows down when there's an F-150 tumbling at you down the road. All these freaking, you know, nail gun nails flying up the thing. Like, it looked like a hedgehog, a pissed off hedgehog. All these nails whipping out into the out into the ether, and you're like, I'm gonna die. He tumbled to it, and I was standing on my brake, and I literally stopped like 20 feet from hitting him. But it was him and a guy in there, no seatbelts. Tons of equipment. I mean, the thing was riding, so it looked like a low rider, but it was just kind of the fact that he had compressed his leaf spring to the point where when he released some of the pressure, it flipped the damn car of its own volition. It was pretty awesome. So I have this history of tumbling vehicles. We were coming back from a Curtis down in Sarasota one night.
Okay.
And this young lady. Same thing. She's driving way too fast. Whips by us at about 90, 95. It's raining. Lost it, pulled into the median, overcorrected. We see her headlights go across the woods, and she's tumbling in the median. And we both slammed on my brakes and ran over to pull her out. And car, it's an Audi, stood on edge. Because you know you want to get your teenager. What you want to get him for their first car is about a $70,000 Audi.
Jesus Christ.
And I pull the girl, open the door, reach down in and pull the girl out. That's, you know, when the adrenaline's going, when you can grab a 120-pound girl and pick her up with one hand, and you're, like, putting her down. Well, see, now I'm talking with my fucking hands. Yeah.
So. I just thought, like, we're telling all these very, like, the stories that we're telling are about traffic and driving, and so, like, we're using our hands as descriptors. Yeah. I'm like, the people that are listening to this audio are like, you guys are fucking assholes. Move on.
Yeah,
finish your story, and then we'll do something.
So I get her, and her friend out of the car, and the girl's like, Where's my hamster? She had evidently just bought a hamster. Now, mind you, this son of a bitch, all the windows are blown out, and I'm like, you know, if the hamster wasn't crushed by the impact in the tall grass, he got himself the fuck out of here. I can tell you that. So, you will never see that hamster again.
There's just a fucking hamster wandering on the hills of Pennsylvania with PTSD.
Well, that was in that was coming up 275, but
that
I
was here,
I'm 75.
Was
I mean,
here.
Yeah, and I told the girl, I said, I just don't think you realize how close you got to dying. I don't think I'd be worried about a hamster.
Actually, that does sound so much like a Florida story. So, Adam, you hear that? Florida is way worse than you. That shouldn't even make the news. It's so Florida. Me and my friend Adam have a game. Called it used to be ours, and now we've kind of invited all of our other friends. It's basically it's who states more fucked up. We started a Facebook page for it because we used to just do it, me and him, where we would just talk shit to each other like on Facebook because he's still up in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and so we just tag each other and shit on Facebook like about how crazy our states were, and it was like points Wisconsin, points Florida, points Wisconsin, points Florida, like, and then we did it so much that our friends started to tag shit for us. They'd be like, hey, James, can you use this in your game? And so after a while, like, we were getting so much help, we were like, well, fuck it. So we started a page called Race to the Bottom, like bottom of the gene pool.
They should do that for, we should do that for Pennsylvania, but Pennsylvania would be, you know, whose state is the most boring?
Dude, it gets bad. Like, there's some that you're just like, it actually makes you kind of sad for humanity.
Yeah.
Most of those ones come from Florida, where it's just like, oh man, come on, like, really, is that what people are nowadays? And what I'm doing here, because I see you're kind of wondering, normally I do a bunch of topics and I call it bowls, hits from the bowl or bowl hits. And then it's just any point, if you want to, you reach in, you grab a topic, and we discuss it. But Will refuses he tells me his bowls are dirty every week. I think he's just doesn't want to use his bowls out here anymore. But so I'm going to throw these in the middle.
Would you want dirty comics, you know, reaching into all of your subjects?
Yeah, like, think you're going to eat cereal out of later?
Yeah, that might have been what it's like, oh, all these fucking dirty stoner comics, and now I got to fucking pour my Cheerios. Yeah,
every time I eat Cheerios, it tastes like malted hops and bong resin.
Tastes like fucking depression. Are you having troubles? You can just move the
Oh, no, the no, that's the brackets.
Oh, is it loose?
Uh-oh.
You can't touch this, like, even a little bit. I know, it's very, this whole setup is very sensitive. All right, let me see if I can tighten. There we go.
There you go. Yeah, I was afraid because I was pushing on him. I was afraid you're going to hear a patink. It's going to be gone.
Well, I was like, I know he's big, but how strong does he think he is? Like,
oh, just well, no, I'm not it around. Strong. I am quite big, but quite atrophied at this point. I'm 42.
You're 42?
Yeah, you know, I'm 43 in August. So,
man, you're fucking old as shit, bro.
Yeah, I'm old as shit.
I talk too much. I'm 36.
No, so. It's all downhill from here, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, I'm not looking forward to anything else at this point. I had a band on here, Orion, and it was three kids. And they're fucking great kids, but they're all 19. It's three of them. And just, like, the whole time, like, I'd make certain references, and all three of their faces would just be like, oh, fuck you guys.
Yeah, you experience, I've been finding that out when I try to do things that I think are pop culture evidence for audiences in their 20s, and you're like, holy shit, you guys have no idea what the fucking Goonies is.
Dude, I was still using Hollaback Girl in a joke like a year and a half ago, and somebody was like, dude, you know, the joke's pretty good, but if you used a more updated song, it might do better with younger crowds. And I was like, holy fuck, I guess that song is pretty old, isn't it?
Yeah, remember when you were a kid and it felt like time took for fucking ever, like summer lasted forever? That was 3 months, and it'd feel like, got out of school, and then there was like an eternity, and then all of a sudden, oh, it's too soon to go back to school, but it felt like forever. Now it's like I see my friends' kids, and I haven't, you know, that I knew since they were 10, and they're now turning 22, and it feels like it was yesterday.
See, that's why I don't hang out with people. Once I've known you for like 5 or 6 years, I'm like, all right, we're done, because pretty soon I'm going to start feeling old by like how you've aged. actually, when I used to work in restaurants, I had that with a table. Like, I worked in this one restaurant for so long that I remember this one table of regulars that would come in like 2 or 3 times a week for lunch, and I literally watched their child grow up to the point where that when their kid came in, he'd like run up and like hit me and be like, "Hey,
you're
Jen!"
like "God damn, I got to get out of here. I've been waiting tables here way too long."
I did, dude. Like,
if you can perceive aging, you've been there too long.
And I'm just like, I'm walking up, I'm having conversations with their kids because we're boys. Like, he's fucking like, I watched him go from 1.5 can't form words, would just bang his toy on the fucking bar, to like now I'm walking up to the table and he's like, "Hi, Jay." And I'm like, "Hey, what's up, little man? How you doing?" "I'm good. You good?" Like, I'm having a conversation with you. You were in diapers when I met you. Like, that makes me feel old watching your kids grow up.
Yeah.
And a little creepy.
Yes.
A little
yeah, but it's all downhill from about 35 on. The morning of my 40th birthday, this is a true story, actually, went into the bathroom, cracked open my book, tipped my head to read, and pulled this muscle on the back of my neck. And I thought, holy shit, this is what 40's going to be like. I hurt myself reading.
I pulled a muscle grabbing a blanket. Like, it was something like the way I reached behind me and went to grab the blanket, like, all of a sudden, like, I was half awake, but then within a second, I was like, oh, my God! What the fuck? Like, for a week and a half, my shoulder and back hurt, and I was like, I grabbed a blanket wrong. Like, how do you grab a blanket wrong?
Yeah, I'll take the pull over a spasm anytime, because I always think of spasm as, like, somebody literally walking around with a gun to the back of your, to your back going, you know, if you move in the slightest bit incorrectly, I'm going to shoot you again.
It's just like, it's like somebody else, you know, those electrical current machines that you put on your back to like feel better? Yeah, TENS. Electrical current machines, that's a devil machines, they're magic. I have one of those, and that's a spasm is like having that on your back, except you don't have the control.
Or the levels, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pissed off ex-girlfriend. Like, and you remember that time that you stayed out late at Tony's, but you told me that your car broke down?
You remember that time you told me the truth that this butt, this does make my butt look big?
You know, that was my first joke that I ever wrote, my very self, was about me telling the truth about a girl asking if her butt looked big, and me telling the truth, but because I'm half black, that's why I'm here, is because your butt looks big. If you didn't have that, you wouldn't have me.
It's true. Yeah, I got lucky. I don't have to worry about that, because the trick is you just marry a woman with a small ass, and you don't have to worry about it.
See, I like a butt, though, dude.
And you cannot lie.
I cannot lie. Yeah. I gotta be honest. no, dude, I like a big ass. So, yeah, I go for girls with that. Like, other friends of mine, I'll be, like, looking at her, like, God damn it. Like, dude, she's kind of like, no. She's kind of perfect, bro. Like, that shit will keep you warm in the wintertime.
Yep.
Maybe that might be from Wisconsin, too. So, I need as much warm.
You always worry about being warm. And, hell, you got to be worried about keeping warm in the summertime. It's so fucking cold there.
I went there a couple of years ago in July for my mom's birthday, and I was so happy that, like, at night, my boy, because I was totally surprising my mom for her birthday. Like, the perfect, like, I'm an amazing son for doing this. I stayed at a friend's house the first night I got there so I could actually surprise her on her birthday. And I'm sleeping on my buddy's couch, and I have, like, a comforter on top of me. It's the middle of July, and his windows are open, and it's just, like, this fresh air and, like, this, it's breezy. There's a bit of a chill, but I'm not cold. This is a great summer.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. You don't have that down here.
No, you don't.
You don't even have that in winter.
There was actually a new study they found out, like, conducively for the deepest sleep, you need to keep your room at, like, 58, I think it was. It's 58 or 68. I don't quote me on that. But
I could see that.
A guy.
I guess 68, because I think 58 would start to be where your body starts shifting heat from extremities.
Yeah, if you have an electric blanket, somebody showed me this. Yeah. In the winter, dead of winter, sleep with your windows open under a cranked up electric blanket, and because you're breathing ice cold air, you will sleep like the dead. I did that. I slept for 27 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, and when it wasn't herbal supplement induced either, it was just 27 hours of sleep.
Ooh, that's dude. I didn't even sleep that long when I stayed up for 26 hours straight drinking and doing blow, just to see if I could. Because it was literally like 6, 7 in the morning. Me and my friends were like finishing up the last little bit of blow and beer. And one of my boys only drank. Like my buddy Wes, if he's listening, like I've heard he's cleaned up. But Wes was the fucking soldier. He was sick, like 6'2", 6', yeah, about 6'2", 6'3". And like 5% body fat. Like he worked carpentry with his old man. And so like he'd work 10, 12 hour days, hard manual labor, never stop, never take a break, never rest. And then just go out and drink until 5 or 6 in the morning, sleep for 2 or 3 hours, and do it again. Never complain. Like, he did this, and he was so tough that he got in a bar fight when he was 22 or 23. A dude pulls out a knife as Wes is beating up one guy. A dude pulls out a knife, hits him in the side of the face, like, doesn't stab him, but, like, hits him with the blade. Like, he had video of this. Like, Wes didn't even realize he had been stabbed. He thought he got punched. There's a video in the bar there because there's fights there all the time. And the cops showed him the video and they're like, do you realize you're stabbed at this point? Because a dude hits him in the face with a knife. Wes turns around to grab at him. He stabs him in the arm. Like this time it's like in his arm. Pulls it out. Wes grabs him by the throat and launches him against the side of a car. The dude, as Wes walks up, stabs him in his leg. Wes grabs him by the back of the neck and the back of the pants and picks him up off the ground and starts bouncing his head in between two cars. And the cops are sitting there with Wes like, this is after the hospital. He's all stitched up. He's got all these stitches and bandages. He's covered in fucking blood. And the cops are just looking at him like, you were stabbed 3 times at this point. Do you realize that? And Wes was just, none. So does that mean I'm not in trouble for beating his? And they're like, no, you're not, yeah, Superman. Defense,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, there was... when I was in college, we had this guy, a Russian exchange student, everybody affectionately called him Cossack, and they went out to the movies one time, and there was a kid that was in line at the movies, and he stepped out of line to get a drink at the water fountain and then stepped back in, but Cossack didn't see that he was in line before him, and he came back, and he's like, you know, he cut in line, that is bullshit, he should not cut in line, and he's like, let it go. He taps the kid on the shoulder, he's like, why are you cutting line? And he's like, look, I don't want any trouble. He turned back around. No, that's bullshit. And he grabs the kid. And the kid did some kind of taekwondo-y bullshit tornado kick, kicked him across the side of the head. Cossack was in Russian Special Forces before he became one of our exchange students. He was like 24 and had just gotten out of the Russian military. You can just imagine this giant Russian guy gets kicked. All it does is his head barely turns. Like, he goes, you should not have done that. And he grabbed this fucking kid. You remember those old cement trash cans they used to have in the malls with all the fucking
like
river rocks glued on the outside?
Yeah, and like he's the metal lid.
Yeah, he said they're fucking raking this kid's head up the side of this can and then turned him upside down and stuffed him down in the trash can. And like, oh, that's great, Cossack. Now we can't see the movie because we got to leave because the cops are coming.
What the fuck is it about malls and kids fighting?
Well, there's the only place. That's where all the kids are. You know, kids can't fight if they're not
fair
there.
Enough. My friend Andy one year, fucking piece of shit that he turned out to be. I was like 19 and I was back in Wisconsin on vacation. Like, cause I moved down here when I was 18. So yeah, just turned 19. It was fully a year later. Have not been home or seen any of these kids in a year. This is like 98. So it's not like we're texting and shit all the time. I'm up in Wisconsin.
Well, texting was like that. You just passed a note.
Yeah. You slide some actual paper to somebody. But so we're in the mall, and it's like two nights before Christmas Eve, and I was on so much fucking acid, which was probably not the best idea because, like, people had big yellow coats that year. It was like a fashion trend. And so, like, I'm standing in the mall just watching these yellow streaks fly by me 100 miles an hour. I was on entirely too much acid, accidentally ate, like, a fucking quarter bottle. And I'm just like, this is so bad. We need to leave. But it's like negative 25 outside. And they're like, you want to go outside? No, but I don't want to be here. So my friend Andy walks up with, shit, I forgot. Yeah, both Andys walked up, but only one of them's a piece of shit. He's like, hey, bro, come with me real quick. We'll be okay. And I was like, all right. So he's like trying to talk me down. And he's like, all right, bro, we're here. And we're at the record town in the mall. And I was like, okay, like, I'm calming down a little bit, but why is Record Town the big deal? He's like, I just need you to have my back. And I was like, for what?
Yeah.
And he walks
up to six
kids.
Nothing good has ever come out of the expression, yeah. Do you have my back? That has never been good.
Yeah. He walks up to six kids, and he just starts talking shit to one of them, because I guess one of them had jumped him at a party like a couple months ago. So I'm like, fuck. So now, like, I'm like walking up with the other Andy, and the first Andy knows I'm tripping balls. So I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, like, you piece of shit. Why would you do this
to
me?
So he thinks he's getting in a fight with kids, and you're going to be fighting fucking dragons because you're...
Yeah, and he's like, dude, fucking James is going to go all out. This is going to be great. Like, and I'm totally not even looking at these kids. I'm just looking at Andy, waiting for him to stop so I can be like, why'd you do this to me? Like, I'm just waiting, and I hear from the side some kid go, yo, who the fuck's this guy? And apparently the acid was like, don't worry, James, we got this. And I just turned, I'm like, yo, don't fucking worry about who I am. Like, get, like, grab the kid's face, shove them backwards into, like, it was a Record Town or whatever. So, like, hit, like, a row of CDs. And, like, all of a sudden, I noticed.
Nobody who listens to the podcast knows what CDs are.
Like, my six listeners are all, like, 24.
MP3s used to come on a saucer.
Yeah. Okay, take one playlist from Spotify, cut it in half, and you could fit that on a giant disc. It was like 25. This is like 25 times the size of an SD card. But yeah, like I snapped on this kid, grabbed his head, pushed him backwards, and then all of a sudden, like I hear all these noises, like not conversation, but I hear noises. When I like look to investigate the noises, we're surrounded by high school kids and adults. Everybody's just staring at us, like giggling and laughing about what's about to happen. I start getting super paranoid, like, what the fuck do I look like on this much acid just grabbing people's faces? And I just went, Andy, you're a dick. And I turned around and I walked out. And I was just like, no. And I fucking, and I guess somebody else had heard what Andy, like, had grabbed me. And they're like, dude, Andy's a fucking idiot. And James is really fucked up. We need to go rescue him. So right as I cut through this wad of people, some of my other friends are coming in, and they're like, hey. And I was like, no. And I just ran outside, and they're like, fuck, get James.
I just can't imagine getting in a fist fight on acid or any hallucinogen. I mean, it's like you punch the guy, and then all of a sudden he dissolves into sand, or he flies around the room like a balloon or something. Hallucinations are – I had hallucinations from some pain medication they gave me for surgery. One of the things they gave me, they said, it can cause hallucinations. And I found out even when I am in an inordinate amount of pain, if you have a very vivid hallucination that there's a man standing at the end of your bed, you will be up with your pistol in your hand in the middle of the night going, okay, he was here. I swear to God he was here.
I'm alarmed by two things. One, that you have a pistol, and two, like, that you're able to get that off of pharmaceuticals, because I made the incredulous, like, huh, face several times for the listeners who saw it.
Yeah, he totally needed a Scooby snack right there. That was.
But, I've eaten just hundreds of thousands of pharmaceuticals, never hallucinated.
Now, this was
like, I've tried.
I think it was really tried. It's one of the opioids. I think it was either Percocet or more. I've had Percocet, morphine, and Vicodin when I've had surgeries, and one of them was just like, it's not that prevalent, but I'll tell you what, when you get it, it's fucking vivid.
Maybe it was morphine then, because I've never done morphine. Morphine, Oxycontin, Roxy, and that are the only ones that I haven't done. And I didn't do them on purpose because I've heard what, like, I mean, I had issues with Vicodin. I had issues with Xanax. And any new listeners that have never heard this podcast before, this is all in the past. I'm a fucking pussy now. I don't even drink alcohol. So don't think like, what kind of drug addict am I fucking sponsoring?
No, he doesn't drink alcohol anymore. He just eats cans of Sterno because fucking cut out the middleman.
Yeah, right? Like, dude, I want to get right to the liver damage.
It's called a hobo highball.
Dude, I saw a homeless guy on the way here, and I didn't want to pull over and give him money. I wanted to pull over and tell him to go fuck himself. Because his clothes were fucking clean and better matched than most of my outfits. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, like, your shoes are cleaner than mine. How are you homeless if you have, like, brand new fucking Nikes and I'm sitting here with, like, two-year-old dirtball? Like, I'm about to have two jobs. Three, if you count comedy.
We can't count comedy. Nobody ever does.
I occasionally get paid every couple months. Yeah, $20.
we all get paid. I wish that it was my full-time job. But, you know, that's the problem is if you have a degree and you're professional, and when you have to find that crossover point of, oh, you can do comedy if you're making as much as you did professionally. Well, yeah, I got to be pretty fucking popular to be pulling down what I do as an engineer.
See, I'm lucky in the fact that I've lived I've actually made this tweet today where it's like, I'm ready for the apocalypse now. I've already been living like money doesn't exist and I have to scavenge for food.
Yeah.
Like, that's not
I do that,
but
just in a well-stocked pantry because I can't ever figure out what I want to eat.
Now, I've
navigating the expiration dates. I kind of. It's only a year out of code. Can I eat it?
I feel like since I've been 18, I've spent more time near. Like I think I've kept one foot like on the line to poverty and homelessness pretty much since I've been 18. Like I've stayed in homeless shelters before.
Yeah.
Like I've been through. Like for me to be at the position where I'm at now, amazes some people, and I'm just really happy. And I have a moderate, like a decently sized but a shitty neighborhood, one bedroom, one bath, and an 07 car, but it's like bare, like it's no tinted windows, manual locks and windows. Like I'm not doing great, but considering the shit that I've been through, I fucking turned it around pretty nicely.
Yeah. I always feel like I got one foot that I'm one step back into poverty because since I moved to Florida 5 years ago, I've been laid off four times. Most comics, you know, quit their day job to pursue comedy. My day job keeps quitting me to pursue other interests. Yeah.
So, like, we're not saying that you should pursue comedy, but you should not pursue us. We're done.
Yeah.
Dude, get out of Florida,
you,
man.
You know how hard it is to censor yourself when you have a racing brain and you're a comic and you're in a corporate environment. You know, I'm not a clean comic. That's the other problem. You come up with all these thoughts to go through your head, and you're like, just. Hold it in. That every staff meeting, that was what was churning through my brain, was hold it in.
Well, like, I work in a fairly professional corporate. Well, let me not bullshit. I work for an extremely large corporate, maybe one of the biggest corporations in America. And so, like, I cannot be James the comic at work. And a couple of them have found, like, people know that I do because I made the mistake of being like, yeah, you know, I do comedy. And so now sometimes people will go to joke around with me and they want to go back and forth. And I have to stop myself. I have to literally look at them and be like, we can't do this. Because, yeah, we'll start off fun, but eventually I'll go for the kill shot, and you will cry, and I'll end up in HR.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
I have to beg
people. I always love when people banter or say, tell me something funny. It's like, well, you know, I like the standard answer for that for any working comic. You always say, pay me. And then they shut up about it.
I always go, no. I just say no. And for some reason, that gets a laugh. Like, it's... this one dude, oh my God, this was like the creepiest experience of my life. Some dude walked up to me one day. I'm out on break. This is back when I was still smoking and drinking. Like, I'm on a cigarette break, though. And this guy comes up and he sits down. And somebody else had mentioned that I was a comic in like the morning department meeting. So he comes up on my break and he's like, so you're the comic, huh? First words I've had with this dude in a week and a half that he's been there. Yeah, I do comedy. Tell me a joke. Nah, man, it's, you know, I don't do my comedy at work. It's not really workplace appropriate. Do it. No? Come on. And just stared at me unblinkingly. And it was like one of those really skinny, creepy white dudes.
Yeah.
Like, I never get
I
scared
used to be
of
him.
Black people.
Now I got put on too much weight to be skinny and creepy.
My hair was at a point where I was creepy for a bit, but now I think it's just magnificent. All right, so you pulled the topic. Will Clinton get indicted? I think I spelled indicted wrong because I was trying to do it at work and not look like I was not working.
Are we talking about Hillary?
Yeah.
I think that investigation is so far along at this point that if they haven't done anything yet, then there was nothing to find and she didn't break any protocols. And to be honest with you, if you know, I mean, I did
I did spooky work for about 18 years. I worked in the defense industry.
I did not know that. Yeah. We will talk about that in a moment.
So, yeah, if you have people in your country that we drop smart munitions on, I probably touched them.
so, all right, well, then, okay, this will be perfect. All right.
But if she actually did anything, I'm telling you how the procedures work. If she did anything that was actually indictable, they would be up her ass with an umbrella and a microscope. They don't care who you are.
Well, it's been ongoing. It's still open. It's still in the they were just pulling in her aides for questioning a couple weeks ago, and they haven't pulled her in because they're trying to coordinate with her campaign.
Right.
The fucking Secretary of State, the governor of, Senate member, but like Stone, I'm trying to remember her fucking.
She was the Secretary of State.
Yeah, and then I was trying to remember before that her.
Was the senator, from
New York. Yeah. Okay, senator. I wanted to say governor. I was like, no, not governor.
No,
senator
not governor.
From New York.
Yeah.
And before that, she was the first lady, and before that, she was the first lady of Arkansas.
Arkansas. Yeah.
Is that how you would say?
Yeah,
the
it's the same thing as being the first lady, but you live in a trailer.
Yeah. but so she has an impressive resume, and I am one of those people that believes that certain people, because I've seen it. And there's evidence of it. And this is one of those things that I feel is evidence. So let me ask you, since you used to work there, literally, because I heard this, Mike Smith, who used to work for the CIA and now runs one of the largest private security firms in the U.S. Was it the U.S. or the... Yeah, the U.S. He said, like, literally what she did, having classified information on a private server, was illegal. That right there, in and of itself... is illegal. Now, the fact it doesn't matter about your firewalls and your protections and how it got there, it was her private server on her property, and it was classified information. Itself is illegal, correct?
It's probably not illegal from the perspective of it depends on... The media is trying to make it out as it was this nebulous server that just came to be, and more than likely it was a classified to the specifications that it was actually... hardened as well as any other server was. It was put there, from what I understand, for her convenience. Because let's face it, she's Secretary of State. So I'm sure that takes a little bit of effort.
Right, but it wasn't a... even if that's the case, it wasn't done through the proper channels. Literally, bare bones, what she did, she took classified information, she put it on a private server. But bare bones, that is illegal.
So that's the piece that's missing for me as somebody who does software engineering and also worked in that area, or worked in did classed work, is how did this transfer happen? Because for her to get classed information, she has to be connected to a classed network. You can't take classed media out of a place. Now she took classed media out, hand carried it in a purse, and then uploaded it on via a flash drive to her own server. That is illegal.
Which is
that piece of illegal?
That's like treason, isn't it?
It's not treason. Treason is advocating the overthrow of the U.S. government. That's one of the few.
So maybe I was going. Well, I thought there was other classifications that I thought taking classified information out.
What's the other one?
I know it's like selling secrets, actively trying to overthrow the government. Like there's, but anyway, that's what Mike Sherman was saying. He's like, it doesn't matter. And he, again, was like a CIA guy too, was an operations leader. I think it was Mike Sherman. I'd have to look back at Joe Rogan's old podcast. But he was saying, like, if anybody else had done it, they would be in jail because they would break it down to the very bare bones and go, no, this is what, regardless of how you did it, regardless of the security at home, this is what you did. This is illegal. You would, but because it's Hillary Clinton, and he wouldn't, that's when he started to be like, you know, if me or you did it, we'd be in jail, but.
Yeah,
and the investigation, and, like, he just kept pulling back.
And you have to look at it from the perspective of it depends on what your position in government is as well. Because by the letter of the law, by the actual book, there are constant security violations that happen. Like, for instance, something is printed in one closed facility, and say that the president of the United States walks in and he picks up that piece of paper, it's a debrief for him. Mm-hmm. He should have got, and he says, I'm going to walk this back to the Oval Office. Technically, he has just violated the fact that nothing is supposed to leave that classified environment. But because he's the president of the United States and he's surrounded by Secret Service, they're going to let him throw it in his briefcase and carry it back to the Oval Office. That's the way it works. But if you talk about to the letter of the law, then he's already violating it.
But so then if you want to say that, all right, so then if you still want to go by spirit, then using that exact same example, he's not putting it into his pocket Well, he's kind of going home because he lives there, but he's not going to, you know, he's not going to his summer house or he's not going to his in-laws' house in Chicago.
Right.
And then going and then, you know, posting it up on the refrigerator, which in your example is pretty much the equivalent. So either way that you do it, though, she should be in, at the very least, she should not even be nominated for president. She is.
Well, I wouldn't have a problem with her not getting
a federal criminal.
I wouldn't have a problem getting her not getting nominated. I personally voted for Sanders, but because this is my issue with just getting back to Hillary as the total subject. My issue with that is when you can win a state by 60%, and then all the superdelegates still vote for the opponent. If that isn't rigging an election, I don't know what is.
And he just called for a recount in, I just saw it on the news the other day, like yesterday or the day before. He called for a recount or whatever. I want to, Kentucky or Indiana? God damn it. Normally Will's my Google on this because I'm too lazy to turn sideways to the computer. I got to go to a different screen and shit. So
it's just so hard to turn to the right and typing and shit.
Yeah, the microphone's where I like it. I don't want to fuck that whole world up. Yeah. Because it usually takes me about 40 minutes into the podcast
to feel like, that's where I'm sitting there fiddling with this thing, trying to make it so I can lean on the table and be comfortable. Because I like to say I like appreciate you pulling out all the stops for me. It makes me feel special. This card chair for an hour.
Hey, that's
on my old tailbone.
That's what we give everybody, buddy. You're not special. You should have seen Jack Johnson folded up in that son of a bitch, dude. Fucking praying mantis looking piece. Okay, so
difference is Jack Johnson's the same thickness as the card chair if you turn it aside.
Yes, fair enough.
You know what? Speaking of indictments, did you hear that Bill Cosby they're going to move forward with trial for him? That Pennsylvania judge moved forward with that.
Yeah, thank God somebody, because people are like, well, if he's not getting indicted, okay, I'm sorry, 55 women all said,
yeah, they're all banding together to
because I started to read some of it, and the cases go back to like the 70s and 80s, and not all, like a lot of the women were like, I tried to report it. And I was told to seriously consider whether or not I wanted to try to take down Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Like, it was said to them like that. And I'm like, I have a daughter.
Yeah, that's really sad. If you think about that, it's really sad for victims' rights. That it's just like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, it's funny to say he's one of the most famous clean comics ever. And he advocated and used to talk down to comics do, so like, we have to say fuck when we perform, and
you don't have to curse.
And why do you say fuck? So evidently what the rule of thumb is for comics is we either can say fuck to you or do fuck to you.
I'll say it, man. I'll say it. I don't think I'd feel good about just, you know, like, hey, I'm sorry, I don't want to do this to you, sweetheart, but I also don't want to curse on stage.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really fucking messed up, you know.
And we're in such a weird fucking time. Like, I was listening to the Owen Benjamin's podcast earlier, and he had this great point where he's like, just to kind of bring this all back to politics, a lot of the Trump supporters aren't necessarily supporting Trump, but they're just so angry at the super PC.
Yeah.
Because, like Bill, he talked about Donald Sterling, the owner of the Clippers, and Bill Burr talked about it. Like, basically, like, that dude came from a different time. He wasn't, and if you listen to the rant, he never dropped the N-bomb. He was mostly just pissed about her hanging out with Magic Johnson and putting it all over social media at his stadium. Like, he was like, dude, fucking.
You're supposed to be with me, so.
Yeah, and he said it fucked up, but he wasn't on there going, nigger this, nigger that. He comes from a different time. He said that the best way he could to his black girlfriend. Like, how racist is he? You know, like, man, I hate them naggers, but they can give some good heads, so I'll keep one around. Like, the fuck? and so there are so many people like that, that are just, they're sick of getting hammered. Like, if I talk shit on Caitlyn Jenner, I'm a piece of shit. I didn't like Caitlyn Jenner when it was Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
It was a fucking tool. I do not think Caitlyn Jenner should have got one. The only reason I'm saying the name is because I don't want to say the pronouns that people want me to. Because he still has his dick. Like, that's my thought. Like, I'm old. I have fucking anatomy.
Yeah, last time I found out if that's called a transvestite.
Yeah.
Transsexual goes the whole way.
So. Yeah. You chop your fucking penis off. Like, as long as you still have a dick.
It isn't
balls,
like, it isn't even like, usually it's a question of money for a lot of people who are transitioning. It's a question of money. Bruce Jenner, it's not a question of money.
No. It's a question of fucking attention whore. Mm. Chaz Bono did it, no recognition. I used to get my hair done. I went through a whole metrosexual phase. I had a gay hair.
Are you sure it's not over? Have you seen your hair lately?
It's magnificent, dude. Yeah, don't fucking hate.
That's some curls. That's some sweeping curls of that shit.
Oh, it's so long. It's. I haven't cut it in almost a year. It's now starting. In almost a year, it's just now covering my neck because the curl in the wave pulls it up. Yeah.
See, but you're lucky. You got the good hair. I don't have that. If I try to grow mine out, it breaks and stuff. Because I tried doing that once.
Oh, dude, you should. I shed like a pony. Like it's ridiculous. Yeah. But it's for some reason. Like no matter how much I shed, I still have hair. Like in the morning, I'll take a shower. I don't take a regular brush to this. I can't. Like I take a pick and I run the pick through. And then I'll take a little fucking wad of curly hair. Did you hear my shoulder pop on that?
Yeah, that was
from
cool.
Raising my arm above my head. My shoulder fucking just popped.
That was the sound of 40 closing down on you.
Oh God, golly. But yeah, so like I'll get a little hairball, and that's from running it through wet hair. Wet hair is not supposed to do that, but it's just so fucking thick.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. I've been trying to grow this freaking Van Dyke out for over a year, and it keeps breaking on me. So.
I can't grow facial hair, though. Yeah. Dave Weingarten was on one of my first podcasts. Dave Weingarten, was an innovator on my podcast because he was the first one that went over an hour. I used to try to keep him so tight, and we were bullshitting. He's like, dude, do they have to be an hour? And I was like, they can be whatever.
Well, holy crap. Told me I have freedom here.
Yeah, he's like, so let's keep going. And I was like, okay. So the next, So I was like, dude, Dave Weingarten's an innovator on my show. But yeah, we talked about that for a while about, because he can grow a magnificent beard, but he's balding. That's why he shaves his head. So it's like, what would you... He's like, he'd rather have my head of hair and not be able to grow a beard. And I'm like, no, dude, it's fucking... You can shave your head, and it's super popular. Nobody questions you, and it looks fine. Like, beards are the only way to get laid right now. I'm 36 years old and can't grow facial hair. Like... Yeah. Everybody's like, if you don't have a beard, you look like a baby. Fuck you, I can't grow it.
And my problem, I actually, it's weird because I can grow all my facial hair except right here, the point of the chin, grows slower than shit compared to the rest of it. Yeah. So evidently I'm supposed to have that fucking 70s handlebar, easy rider bullshit, because that's all the stuff that grows naturally, but like I'm supposed to shave the fucking chin off, I guess.
Dude, I'd punch a baby if I could grow that.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, I don't really like babies.
Yeah.
I just said I'd punch a baby.
Sometimes the baby punches you first, so the baby started it.
Fucking bitch, don't be staring at me like that. I don't know you. For some reason, I told my friend one day, like, there's a Popeye's opening by my old place. And I looked up and I was like, oh, is that Popeye's open yet? I will kick a fucking baby right now for some Popeye's. And she just looked at me and I was like, I don't know why I said that. Popeye's isn't that good. I'm sorry, but can we go see if it's open? It wasn't. I cried. Love me some Popeye's.
Yeah. We just had one open down near us, and there's always a line.
Oh, it's so amazing. Like, it's so good. Okay, Todd just grabbed another one. You got to read them out, man.
I can't. Your handwriting is awful.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, I was trying to write small. Oh, yay, this is my favorite subject. Dream apocalypse.
Have no fucking idea what
that
is.
Okay, let me see how much time. Okay. Oh, that's fine. When do you have to leave here? When's your...
We're within 5 minutes of where we're going.
Oh, okay.
So I'm good.
And your reservation's for 8:15?
8:15, yeah, we're cool.
Oh, yeah, okay, we got plenty of time. All right. Because this will probably take up the rest of the show. All right, yeah, this will take up the rest of the show. So before we do that, let's do your Netflix Pearl real quick.
My Netflix Pearl is a independent film by Josh Korenbluth.
Okay, real quick, sorry. Just in case, because I've been seeing my podcast shared a lot more. No, put that back. We're going to do Dream Apocalypse. We'll look at those when it's done. For any new listeners, my Netflix Pearl is a show or a TV show or a movie on Netflix that people probably don't know about, but really should because it's really good. So, little suggestions for you. All right, sorry, go ahead.
It's an independent film by Josh Korenbluth. The title is Haiku Tunnel, like the Japanese type of poetry, Haiku Tunnel. If you like the movie Office Space, it follows a character who is a temporary employee. Uh-huh. And it's all about his internal struggle about whether or not he's going to become a permanent employee. And he's working at a law firm that he is convinced that the attorney he works for is actually Satan incarnate. It is fucking hilarious. It's one of those kind of surreal, almost Python-esque movies. Mm-hmm. My favorite scene is through the whole movie, he's struggling to finish the first task he was given, which is to type up 17 letters, legal response letters, and mail them. That's all he's supposed to do. And he's sitting there with a dictation tape, one of the old style ones with a cassette. Yeah. We're talking about old technology. People are in 20. Google what a cassette is.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, my listeners are like, what?
So there's a foot. He has a foot pedal device, right? Yeah. And so it goes forward, and he's listening to the attorney, and it's his voice. And he's typing. And he's like, you know what? And he has a back pedal that he can make a rewind, so he can keep using the dictation machine. And he's like, you know what? I always wondered about this. And he pops the tape out, and you see him put a tape in, and it's just like a mixtape. And across the top, it says Judas Priest. And he pops it in there, and when he's playing it forward, and it's like, you know, hey, Judas Priest. And then when he hits the backwards, he hears, Josh, quit fucking off and type the goddamn letters! And it's the attorney's voice. So the devil on the Judas Priest CDs
is his attorney.
Is the attorney he's working for. It beautiful. Is such a great fucking movie. But
That sounds really... Yeah, I like those weird irreverent comedies on fucking Netflix. Like, they have so many good ones. Like, you can get down a rabbit hole so quickly.
Yeah. I actually tripped over that movie on the Independent Film Channel.
Yeah.
It did well at Sundance one year, and they were just showing it. And it was like, just the intro scene was like him talking to the camera, breaking the fourth wall, about how Bob, the attorney, is totally made up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Bob would have no reason to sue me. So, but it's really is a very good movie.
Okay, is it on Netflix or?
Actually, I think it's even free on YouTube at this point. I think you can get it free on YouTube.
As long as somebody can see it somewhere.
Yeah.
Because I did change it for a while from Netflix Pearl to Just Movie Pearls because I didn't have internet, so I didn't have Netflix. But
I could go real old school and call it Blockbuster Pearls.
Jesus, I'd probably lose my 2 of my 5 listeners. I might be up to 6 now. Who knows?
It's good to know I'm getting tons of exposure for my time.
Oh, yeah, and fucking none, dude. None. Because, like, all my listeners are people you know. It's like David Wayne and Jander and Dave Hines and let me see.
We've all had this conversation with me before then. So that's
Ashley, I think Cassandra listens. Oh, May Wainwright listened to the last one, so maybe she's a listener again. So, May, thank you for joining us. And I don't know, a couple other people. If anybody I did not shout on, you want to yell at me, make sure to call in or text, or maybe just call in. I think it's just a call-in voicemail number, 813-693-6724. I'm sorry. 813-693-2124. Don't know where that came from. 2124. That's the homemade broadcast like voicemail line. So they can call into that, leave a message about what a piece of shit I am. I'm okay with that because I just want to get some text and messages in so I feel like I'm accomplishing anything at any point. All right. So Haiku's Tunnel.
Haiku Tunnel.
Haiku Tunnel.
Yeah.
That does sound pretty good. I'm going to check that out. Try to remember that. Okay.
If only we were recording this, you'd have some way of referring to it.
I don't. I'm going to have to start listening to these. I really don't because it's like, did you listen to our podcast?
You can't bitch that nobody else listens to your shit, but if dude, you don't listen to your own shit.
I was there. Like, why do I have to listen to it? I experienced it. It was firsthand. I lived in the moment. my Netflix pearl is Crow's Nest. And longtime listeners will know that I tried to describe this movie before, but could not for the life of me remember the name and just gave a horrible description. But I fucking remember the name. It's called Crow's Nest. It's a found footage horror film. And because for a long time, found footage horror films just went straight down the fucking toilet. But they've been making
a comeback.
Yeah, you
can thank the Blair Witch Project for that.
Yeah, I mean, like the Blair Witch Project was like, oh my God, look at this new style. And then people abused the shit out of it. Mm. But there's been a couple good ones recently. Creep. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that.
No, I don't watch horror films. I have a very overactive imagination, and I like to sleep at night.
Creep is really weird. It's like an hour. And this isn't it because I've talked about it before, but Creep is, it's literally two people as the whole movie. This guy says he has cancer, and he's about to die, so he wants this filmmaker, who he found on Craigslist, to come follow him around for a day so he can leave a tape for his unborn son, just in case he doesn't beat the cancer. So the guy comes out there, then like you kind of discuss, like the guy who has cancer is really weird. Then it starts to like, wait, do you even have cancer? Like, where's your wife and all this? Like, cause she hasn't been around and hasn't gotten a call. Like, and it gets just like, it's weird. Like, but it's literally two people and it's found footage. And it's really fucking good movie. Another one that was good was, The Houses That October Built. Oh, one of the only horror movies I've seen in like the last 15 years that made, I went to walk my dogs outside and I was like, thank God I have pit bulls. Otherwise I wouldn't go outside until there was sun again. Like it was, My daughter watches horror movies with me, and she's 16, and she at one point was like, Dad, seriously, fucking turn it off. And I'm like, no, dude, we're like,
you're committed at this point.
We weren't even halfway in, and she was getting freaked out. I'm like, no, this was your idea. And I'm sitting there in my heart of hearts going, maybe you should turn it off, bro. But today's pearl is Crow's Nest. Crow's Nest is five friends, two couples, and then one of the girls' little sisters. Just being a complete fifth wheel, like 19-year-old fucking total teen angst, 17-year-old teen angst. But they're going out on like a car ride up to like the mountains. I think it's in, I want to say it's in Washington. And they're going to do some camping and fishing and shit for the weekend. They end up getting way lost. And then one of them gets hit by like an RV. And then the RV starts terrorizing them. And like, there's just this one scene where they're like walking up to find something. Cause they're like, what's that over there? Like what? And they're walking up on it with the camera. Like what the fuck is that? And like the closer you get, you start to realize like, is that an animal? And it looks like it was just skinned, but like all the blood and meat and everything, like while it was still alive, cause there's just blood everywhere. Like, what the fuck? And then as they get up on that, like the RV buzzes them and it's like, oh, and I'm sitting there watching like, oh fuck, what the, like it just, and it was really good. Yeah, really scary. I loved it.
It sounds interesting. I just have never really watched horror films after watching them with my mother. Because my mother figured out how to make a sound that goes right down to the caveman part of the male brain. And every time my mom gets startled, she goes, and then you go, I think I just had a goddamn heart attack. I pissed myself a little bit.
I'm such a dick because randomly watching a horror movie, yeah. Like I'll just yell at my daughter. I'll be like, yeah. And like jump at her and from across the room and it'll get her every fucking time. And she's like, oh, why do you do this? Why do you do this to me?
I wasn't really afraid of any of the horror films we watched, but I have nightmares about my mother doing that inhale shit.
No, like, yeah. We watch some scary ones, but she loves horror movies. Like that's her big thing. So we watch a lot of them together and a lot of my suggestions are horror movies. But yeah, so check out Crow's Nest horror movie. That one is on Netflix. And yours was Haiku Tunnel, probably on YouTube. If not, just fucking download it, people. Yeah, you're not a pirate shit.
That was one of those movies that when I got it on DVD, I've handed it around to all my friends. And I'm like, guys, you got to watch this. It's fucking funny. Because the reason I say that is, you know how in the movie Office Space, it's funny for like the first half. And then it gets way too fucking serious at the end.
Oh, see, I love the whole fucking thing.
Haiku Tunnel stays silly the whole time. That it's that same kind of surreal, offbeat thing from beginning to end.
I think the humor, it's still funny, but it's a serious funny where it's like, I see what you're saying, but I love Office Space a whole. Mike Judge is like a personal hero, except for King of the Hill. Fucking can't stand that show. But other than that, Mike Judge is a personal hero of mine. He's so brilliant. Like he has all these degrees in fucking computer engineering and this and that. Like he's fucking super smart.
Then he makes Beavis and Butthead. And,
Like what the fuck? But have you seen Silicon Valley? Have you seen Silicon Valley?
No, actually.
It's on HBO. I think it's like wrapping the third season. Yeah, I think the third season is finished.
We are so behind on TV. We always say we're going to get, you know, the box set or Amazon Prime and catch up over the summer, and then we end up doing things when it's nice outside and forgetting about it.
Yeah, who fucking enjoying the outsides? Yeah. That's why I didn't have internet for four months.
We live in a subtropical paradise in Florida, so
I wouldn't go that far, but I fucking hate
subtropical paradise with some of the worst people in humanity. Don't drive 50 miles inland. That is the trick.
That I will say and agree with. Just worst people overall. All right, so Dream Apocalypse. You pulled the subject. I fucking love this subject. Dream Apocalypse. It's my favorite. I want you to tell me how the apocalypse happens. It's going to fucking happen. And it's anything you want. Mm. It could be a nuclear fucking, like last week, Nathan Hart did, his idea was like weather, like all like volcanoes erupt, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, all at the same time. And then like, so tell me, how does it happen? How do you survive the initial wave? And then how do you continue to survive and grow? And it can be fucking whatever. Jared Walker's involved like magic and elves and warlocks and shit is how he ended up. Like his was like a meteor that like ended up like unlocking magic in the world. It was weird, but so whatever. It was really good though. So whatever you want, whatever the fuck you want.
And I think the apocalypse will probably happen because there's going to be a food shortage. I think is what's going to happen. And the reason I say that is because there's been dwindling pollinator
pollination insects, bees have been dying left and right, hundreds of colonies all over the earth.
Yeah, for like years, and everybody's just like, yeah, no, they're not.
We got freaking birds hitting pockets of superheated air in the atmosphere and falling to the sky. Hundreds of birds falling out of the sky.
The bees are fine. What we need to talk about is who's going to use what bathroom.
Yeah.
Who's going to use what bathroom? Yeah. Fuck the bees and the earth. Who's going to use what bathroom?
So that's really what the breakdown is. I mean, there was some, you know, I'm not a doomsday prepper or anything. As a matter of fact, it's like... I just will count on my survival skills. I'm a fairly accomplished archer. I used to. I'm actually a trainer for Olympic style recurve. Have a certification in that.
I thought I had some survival skills.
So,
all right.
So after all the firearms people kill each other and all the gunpowder's gone, because I guarantee you ain't a swinging dick. They know how to reload ammo, but ain't a motherfucker out there knows how to make gunpowder.
So, okay.
Or gunpowder that's worth a shit. It's real easy to make stuff that fizzles and smokes, but making stuff that'll actually project a...
Okay, so all the food goes away.
All the food goes away, and then that's the breakdown, because then where the hell...
And then people start fighting. And
fighting over what's left. The way you'd have to survive the initial wave is just by taking all the resources from people around you until you can get something established. But the problem is, when there's no pollinators, eventually the food chain breaks down. There's nothing for the stuff you would hunt to eat either.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking just go straight carnivore, but yeah, that's done too.
I mean, granted, you know, certain things like, you know, deer and some game animals, they eat things that don't necessarily require pollination because they can live off of leaves. Because leaves and grass and grazers and stuff would still be there. But you're not allowed to know this, but I saw the picture in North Korea. Evidently, they steal grass from the state lands to eat the grass because that's how much his people are starving. We're not supposed to talk about that.
Dude, I just found out that they airdrop this dude defected and was like, yeah, since early 2015, people have been flying helicopter drones over the border and dropping SD cards with like Western movies and fucking books and magazines and shit on them.
Yeah,
just then, randomly dropping them for the people.
Yeah. So there's, and that's really, you know, the breakdown would just be that once there's no food,
people just start fucking.
People
rioting.
Start either rioting or start eating each other.
Well, now what about just straight processed food? Because how much food do we eat now that literally contains no food?
Well, it contains food, but the issue becomes like this.
I mean, anything you can chew and swallow, I guess, is food. But.
Yeah, that weird prepper show that I watched. They said that most people have 9 meals worth of food in their home. Like you can actually feed a family of 4 9 times before you'd be out of food. That's 3 days. That's scary. If you really think about it, that's scary.
Wow, yeah. I'm thinking in my house, I'm like, skinny kids for an hour or so would be okay.
So the initial run would be that you'd have to pretty much ransack every place that still had processed food and then hope that there's a... Because if there was elimination of pollinators and we had no electricity, we're fucked.
Yeah, but how is he? Because what I'm thinking in that situation is, yeah, people just start going nuts and like, the rich, the super elite, they're gonna fucking hold up. And I don't want to say like fortresses, but they're gonna hold like the people who own the factories that make the processed food are gonna be like, no, I'm just gonna control the. So I would think that it would be. I'm trying to think of a movie that I can relate it to give the list, but like a bunch of pockets of like very large cities where they're built around food plants that can process their own shit. And then everywhere else is just roaming bands of fucking marauders.
Right. Yeah, and that's what it would be. Their population centers would have to draw into...
Mad Max, but instead of gas, it's processed food.
Yeah, you're killing each other over a Stouffer's freaking lasagna. Yeah. So.
War boys, get Doritos!
So, but, you know, that's the whole thing is, you know, the aristocracy would probably try to hire... the peasant class to be hand pollinating enough food to barely feed them and keep and have a rich living for the people. I mean, it would go back to feudalism and you know where you had people serfs and royals.
See, I think you'd be okay because you're fucking 6'8". So people
they would kill and eat me because I'm a lot. There's a lot of white meat on me.
I think you could if you were smart at your size. As soon as you see this shit going down, get to the fucking aristocracy and be like, "Yo, you're gonna need door guards. Yeah. You're gonna need muscle because you're so big." They'd be like, "Yo, that fucking giant." We'll just keep feeding him fucking Doritos. We'll give him some weights. We'll just give him all the bullshit. like this isn't healthy. But it'll get you big. Just keep lifting, guy. Like, I'm 6 foot with bad genetics. I would be fucked. Like, I would be, I'd be dead because somebody's going to try to fuck me, and I'm going to fight for the sanctity of my butthole. and I'm not gonna do well.
Well, you know the thing is you know how they say that the best meat is the meat that is from animals that have done the least amount of work, like a Mishima beef from Japan. It gets
well. That's why they feel they keep the cows chained to the ground so they can't even stand up.
Well,
poor little cows.
No, the ones in Japan, like, they get massaged by monks every day, and they're kept in a pen where they can walk around. It's not as cruel as
that's Japan, dude. They know how to do shit over there.
They feed them nothing but grain and beer. That ain't a bad gig if you can get it.
Right. Wait, the masseuse get nothing but grain and beer, or the
cow? The cow. So the cow gets grain and beer.
Like,
so
all right, you're just going to rub on this cow, but all the free beer you want.
So if
you're going to need it.
So in this case, I believe that following that same thing, that the animal that does the least amount of work has the best meat.
Yeah.
I believe that Aerosmith had it right when they said "eat the rich," because if you're really looking for some high quality cannibalism, you go right for the upper class.
Ooh, I think that would definitely be. I would think that would happen eventually. Like, the people would be okay with being controlled by the rich at first, because it'd be like kind of what we're used to. So,
no, I'm eating their ass.
You're going for it right away.
You got to get them before they can stand up all those defenses.
Before they get settled in and fucking get dug in.
Yeah, guy rolls into his Rolls Royce, and all of a sudden he's on a spit. That's what I'm saying.
So, like, as soon as he's like, "Hey guys, I'm rich, I'll help you out," you're like, "Nah, yeah, son, come here, son. No. Come here." All right. And so how do you start? Do you do because, like I said, you're a big dude, so I'm guessing that they would come to you for like, "Hey," so as soon as they came to you for like, "Hey, do you want to be one of my guards and we'll feed you?" Are you just going to be like immediately like, "Yeah, sure, not a problem," and then immediately stab them in the back?
Yeah, that'd probably be the way it goes down. I've never been a crony. I don't have that personality in me.
Fair enough.
A leader. I'm not a follower. And I actually believe that, people have the right to have a good life. And the idea that we live in a country where the disparity between the upper class and the middle class is the widest, or is at such a ludicrous differential. And then they want me to be pissed off at people who are doing worse than me. It's like, no, fucker. I'm smart enough to look up. I don't look down. I can give a fuck if somebody's getting food stamps. I give a shit the guy who's paying 0.68% on his taxes while I'm paying 28.5%. That's what I get pissed off about.
Oh, dude, it's ridiculous. The media, and God, I hate saying this because I sound like a fucking kook, but I do believe that to a point it's true. But the media and the government, to a point, try to point us in a direction. I do believe that because of podcasts, the internet, shit like this, that it's becoming harder and harder for them to do. Like, I talked about this with a previous guest. I do believe that there's a group of people. I don't think they control the world. But I think that they have so much money and own so many, large court, like own the fucking news outlets, that they can pressure people and direct. Yeah, you can direct and influence. I don't think they control shit. But I think because of the advent of the internet.
The problem is that we as a society aren't smart enough to need to be directly controlled. They can steer us any direction they want us to do.
Well, I think, though, that because of the internet, we're starting to not become... Because now there's so many people that can put out independent content.
Yeah.
And there's so much you can choose from. You can get... And I think, of course, that group is now starting to, have people appear to be independent but are still control. But there's just so much of it that you can get such a choice that it's harder and harder for them to influence and control. Eventually, it'll go away and we'll actually be a democracy.
Well, the thing that I worry about the most is that, when you look at any society, the point at which a society has the potential for collapse is when you can't ascend class. So if you're born into the poverty class, you live, you're in poverty class, you die, and your children will be in the poverty class, and they live and die. The moment that you can't, no matter how hard you work within the law, within the governance of your society, that you can't ascend class, that's when the problem is. I was born middle class. I have gotten myself to the upper part of that middle class, but the fact is I will never be rich. I work I work for a great company now. I'm very happy where I'm at. But the fact is I'll never be rich.
For the most part, that's true. But I mean, there are exceptions to the rule, of course, because, besides just professional athletes, because a lot of professional athletes, that's how they came into wealth. But they're still not accepted by the
professional
elite.
Professional athletics
all the time.
Or drug dealer, those are the two ways to come up.
Yeah. You either got to sling crack rock or have a wicked jump shot.
Yep.
Biggie Smalls.
Or you can just do jump shots with crack.
Have you ever seen the movie Boiler Room?
No, I don't believe
Giovanni Ribisi, Ribisi. Who else? Vin Diesel's in it. Affleck's in it. There's a couple other people in it. I can't think of their names right now, but when you see them, the younger Khan, Scott Khan. There's a lot of people that when you see it, you're like, oh, shit, I've seen Jamie Kennedy's in it. But it's a movie about stockbrokers that are working in a boiler room in a fucking straight gas chamber fucking, you know, sleazy telemarketing room. And it's back in, like, the mid-90s when it was really easy to do stocks over the phone and shit. But there, when it's opening up, it's Giovanni doing a voiceover, and he's like, yeah, he's talking about the Biggie song, and he's like, they say the only way out the ghetto is to sling crack rock or have a jump shot. Well, I never wanted to sling rock. And I'm a short, and he's like, I'm Jewish, so I didn't have a wicked jump shot, so I sold stock, which is the white boy equivalent of crack. Like, it's such a good movie, dude, because it really shows like how so many people like that, like basically Wolf of Wall Street, kind of.
Yeah.
It shows how shit like that happened. Like, I mean, you know, to a different degree and everything, but it's a great movie. But yeah, all right. So your dream apocalypse, food runs out. Aristocracy try to say, hey, we'll help you out, and you are one of the people that leads the revolt. Immediately you're like, nope, we're not selling, let's eat the rich now. And then eventually though, if you do that, you'll just, well, I mean, I guess you could take control of the factories and do it in a fair way and just try to keep out marauders like who are like, we want the power. It's like, no, power's for the people. See, I think that human fucking, I mean, hopefully in a situation like that, humanity as a whole would be like, all right, let's start working together for this shit.
Right, because eventually if you don't, you know, the initial decline becomes extinction.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. You either work together or you were doomed to become extinct anyway. Because, you know, once the delicate balance that we call the food chain breaks down, there's nothing left. I mean, there really isn't. You're sitting there trying to recreate something that took millions of years to evolve in nature. Okay. I mean, all the pieces are there,
right.
But how are you going to create pollinating insects when they're? I mean, bees are responsible for, I think it's 70 or 80% of all pollination.
Yeah,
and there's like hummingbirds and some other shit like that. But
for the most part, it's bees, and for the most part, we're like they're dying off.
Yeah, and every time we see a swarm on a house, people are like, oh, call the exterminator, kill it. And it's like, no, stupid ass, that's a new colony setting out to go. Just tolerate it being there. First of all, bees are swarming if they're in the actual cluster. Yeah. They're usually very docile. If they're swarming in the air, that's when they're going to fuck you up.
Yeah, just don't fucking go near their home, and you're good. Like, worst case scenario, if you don't want it there because you have children, you're allergic, whatever, I get it. Call a fucking beekeeper and be like, hey, dude, there's a shit ton of bees. You want to come get them?
Come collect them, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of beekeepers will be like, well, yeah, like I'll set them up somewhere. Because beekeepers know, like, dude, we need this. So they'll set them up someplace where they won't fuck with anybody and let them collinate again.
They come give them the good smoke and that little puffer thing. And
Speaking of good smoke. all right. I like your apocalypse. I like your apocalypse. Some interesting things could happen there. Let me see. I think my dream apocalypse this time, well, let's just say Donald Trump wins the election. Because I honestly believe that if he goes up against Hillary, it's going to be a combination of the rednecks that already support him, the people who will vote for him just to spite Hillary, and the misogynists who are just cannot imagine having the leader of your country be a woman.
Yeah.
So Donald Trump will win. His foreign relations are going to be just horrific, which will lead to a nuclear holocaust. We will have... as soon as he gets elected, there will be an uptick in bomb shelters and shit because everybody's like, I'm not going to be the only person thinking this scenario.
No, that's, if he wins the election, you will see me for the very first time going out and buying an AR platform for my guns. Because, and it's to protect myself from his supporters.
Build a bomb shelter, man. Yeah. I'm gonna go up north and build a bomb shelter. So nuclear bombs go off, nuclear winter. But again, a lot of people saw it coming, so a lot of bomb shelters. But of course, you know, electricity is wiped out. We are now...
All the food supply and the water's irradiated.
Right, so now we're coming out, and it's a little bit of cannibalistic.
And now we're stuck in the game Fallout 4.
Yep. We're also we're hunting animals, but the animals are mutated, so they can almost hunt us back. I'm going to say there's mutant people, too. So, all right, my initial...
There's mutant people now.
Oh, yeah, dude, because not all of them die. Some of the people are in nuclear shelters. And I've never seen Fallout 4, so if I'm stepping too much on this fucking... I've never played Fallout, so if I'm stepping too much on the storyline there, let me know. But because I'm making this all up as I go. All right, so nuclear winter. Some people are perfectly safe in their shelters. They have a supply of food. So as they kind of venture out and test for livability, their food supply dwindles. But some people couldn't afford the good bomb shelter. Some people were just really shitty and were like, world's not going to end. I'm going to way charge this guy and just build like a half-ass bomb shelter. So some people get low doses of radiation and they mutate. We're going to go with mutants, and they're going to get not like X-Men mutants, like fucking God damn it, fucking marijuana. Just like big grizzly mutants, like what you like scary ones.
He's sitting across the table from me, so big grizzly mutant came to mind.
Sorry. That was kind of dick.
That was like a little bit of direct eye contact when you said that, James. That was pretty fucked up.
My bad, man. My bad. But, you know, like, you know, bubbles in the heads and third eyes and like gnarly teeth, and they're no longer human. Now they're these fucking orcs and creatures. And they start eating everybody. And so you're battling them. You're battling other humans trying to get fucking supplies of food. Eventually, you know, shit'll irradiate. Shit'll float up. This is what I'm saying. And it'll be kind of like the Book of Eli, where you're just going through hoping to find water, trying to stay out of the fucking light, and trying not to get murdered by fucking cannibals who are just roaming around going, no, it's much easier for six of us to jump on someone and eat them.
My apocalypse happened too, and that's why there's the cannibals going around eating you.
Yeah, I mean, dude, in most apocalypse, there's cannibals because food's going to be in short supply. You got to do what you got to do. It's understandable.
Yep.
Soylent Green is people. Right. there's a reference for none of my listeners.
None of your listeners got that either.
Even my older listeners.
And they're
going to
look it up,
like,
and they're going to see that meal replacement shit they're saying on Facebook. They're like, why is he promoing this powder? There's a something called Soylent. There's a meal replacement stuff. It's not the green. The green stuff you got to get on the
IMDb. Yeah, because that was the name of the movie too, right? With Soylent Green.
Soylent Green.
Yeah, look up Soylent Green on IMDb, and you'll see.
I think that was the name of the movie. I'm pretty sure.
Such a weird. Like, there was a lot of really weird movies like that back
Gattaca.
Then. Like, Gattaca. Was it Dune? No, it wasn't Dune, where, like, he thinks he's alive with, like, the last human. It turns out, like, it's him and one other, like, android. Like, the face pops off. Was that Dune? God damn it, marijuana. I love you so much, but you fucking ruined me. It's the worst relationship I've been in long term. It's also my longest relationship. All right, we got to get you out of here for your fucking, reservation. Jesus Christ, have you smoked that much? Maybe that's
yeah. I was gonna say that wasn't.
I usually smoke a lot more throughout the podcast, but I'm trying not to get you popped by association. Well, let's give up your social medias. Oh, we didn't even get. By the way, you're on here to promote Gutterballs Comedy, so promote that real quick. Put out all your social medias, everything you want people to do to get in touch with you.
I'm the host and founder of Gutterballs Comedy Cabaret, the only comedy club in Riverview, Florida. We have shows on the second and fourth Friday of the month. It's $7 tickets in advance, $10 at the door. We get two professional comedians, two at a minimum. Everybody else is a hand-selected hammer from around the Bay Area, including the illustrious James Bailey has been there.
It was a fun little room, dude. I had a great time. Yeah.
It's about 70 to 100 seats, depending on how we set the room up. Yeah. It'd be nice if I got some more pre-sales so my stress level could come down. Because getting these 35 walk-ups at the door, it's awful.
I put on one show. I booked and did everything, and I literally was like 15 minutes of showtime about to cry.
Yeah.
And then people started showing up to the point. Like, I ended up putting
like
40,
the stress,
45.
And people don't realize what that stress is like. It's like, wow, I'm going to lose my ass tonight because I'm actually paying people.
Yeah. I promise people money. Fuck.
You can follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Todd Yeti Comedy, @ Todd Yeti Comedy, all one word, on Twitter, and Todd Yeti Comedy on Facebook.
T-O-D-D-Y-E-T-I.
Comedy, C-O-M-D-Y-D-Y. I don't even know what the hell you said, to be honest.
T-O-D-D-Y-E-T-I-C-O-M-E-D-Y. I always spell my my guest's social media because I'm a show-off.
Yeah, once the show is Linguistic Center, it's completely shut down to the marijuana.
I just want to inspire other potheads and let them know that you, too, can learn to spell.
Yeah.
All right, so Todd Yeti Comedy all over. Do you have an Instagram or are you just Twitter?
I have Instagram, but my wife keeps giving me hell that I haven't been putting enough stuff on. And she wants me to turn some of my bits into memes, and she's probably right. That's why she does my management. She's been telling me what to do for years, so I figured comedy should be the same as in life.
I'm the same way. Well, I'm not the same way as I'm single and have no prospects, so I don't have anybody telling me what to do, which makes me cry a little inside, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's nice being married, actually, because, you know, when I want sex, I roll over.
And just jack off?
No, she's not usually there, and then I just, you know.
Hump the pillow?
I'm just checking to make sure it's okay if I turn on porn.
So. I actually did go over to a girl's house recently, and it didn't work out. We'll talk about it off air because she might be one of my listeners, and I don't want to be rude. I'm not going to tell you. I'll totally tell you. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. My social media, as always. Oh, do you have anything coming up? Any dates coming up to plug? Your wife's signaling something.
Yeah, I'm going to be...
isn't coming out till next week.
Okay, good. So
we're doing that together again.
Yeah, yeah. So we can't really... I didn't know if we were even allowed to talk about it.
If he can time travel back to the 30th and then do it, that's fine. But other than that...
I had that, and I had a couple things for coming up for Kavakami, but nothing that'll hit the right time frame.
But I'm
willing to come to anybody's private party. You want to book me for a private party? I'm a whore.
And so they can
give me some money, and I'll come and insult your friends and do my formal stuff. And
they can get to you on the social media.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
So you got money, and you want somebody to come make you laugh, I'll do that. You just need a bouncer, I'll do that.
Do you do clean corporate shows?
I won't. Some clean, but I'm finding that I don't really have that much of an issue working clean. If by clean you mean no profanity. When you say clean, no adult subjects, no. If you say church clean...
I got about 3 minutes of church clean.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got about 5 minutes of church clean. That's the thing I've got going on this weekend, which will be this weekend from the past. They want me to do 5 to 7 a clean at Peggy O'Neill's for Kava Comedy, and I'm like...
Isn't that Saturday?
Yeah. Oh, and actually, you know what? I do have something to plug. I forgot. I was just asked to showcase at Tampa Improv on June 15th at 8 p.m.,
oh.
I'll be there doing 6 minutes in front of the main act.
Yeah, I'm doing that too.
Shout out to Tony God for the opportunity. He's a great guy. If you don't know him, get to know Tony.
Well, that was my plug too, you son of a bitch. You stole my thunder.
So now, as always, I'm in direct competition with James Bailey. And I feel like the big Russian from Rocky IV because I must break you.
But if you can change, and if I can change... Then we can all change.
I've seen it once or twice. My social media, my social meds, as always, James Bailey, haha, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow my mom's favorite Facebook page. Like us, call us, email us, do whatever. Get in touch with us. Let us know what you're thinking. Call me a piece of shit. I don't care. But follow, man. Have some fun. And as always, make sure you call your mama. She misses you. She cares. Day. From the West Coast, that's my birthplace. LACA all day, I stay in Dodger blue and gray. Do a big, keep it strange all day. From the 816 to the MIA. I'm like, ooh, wee, naturally, these motherfuckers all live in a fantasy. Schoolyard MC, no sympathy. I got a bone to pick with they faculty. They ain't a fan of me and my friends. Always banging beats on they bench. Wanna keep us under their lens till we burn like ants, cause we the chosen. Give me that table knock. Friends went and had babies and changed the locks. Got a job at the desk where they stop for the checks and they judge me just cause I drank a lot. Goddamn. See me, I'ma be that monster. Pray for props. Let them all have paper and race for stocks. All I ever needed was to bang tabletops.